poems and short stories with Jean, keeping you connected.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be back. It's a lovely sunny morning here in Hanley today. I don't know what it'll be like when you read this, but we are doing okay, I think, and a bit autumnal, but nice. Now, I don't often do this, but I'm going to dedicate the poems today to a very dear friend of mine and a listener who rang me to say how much he had enjoyed Joyce Grenfell's monologues and poems. And would I include something by Simon Armitage and Pam Eyre as well? I'm pleased to say I'm going to do that for you today. And thank you very much. I did appreciate the call. So don't forget, everybody, I'm always looking for new or old readings that you'd like to hear. So let's begin with Simon Armitage. Simon Armitage began writing his poetry in 1989. And today he's regarded as one of the nation's most original, respected and influential poets. Some of the poems today are from his collection, which is called Paper Aeroplane. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. Which is a book of selected poems. So I do hope you will enjoy them. So we're going to begin with a poem called Simply Poem, which shows a man with two most different sides to his nature, I'd say. So here it is, Simon Armitage, poem. And if it snowed, and snow covered the drive, he took a spade and tossed it to one side, and always tucked his daughter up at night, and slippered her the one time that she lied. And every week he tripped up half his wage, and what he didn't spend each week he saved, and praised his wife for every meal she made, and once, for laughing, punched her in the face. As for his mum, he hired a private nurse, and every Sunday taxied her to church, and he blubbed when she went from bad to worse, and twice he lifted 10 quid from her purse. Here's how they rated him when they looked back. Sometimes he did this, and sometimes he did that. Yeah, definitely a man with two sides to his character. The second poem doesn't have a title, but I'm going to call it, Mother. And this does bring back memories for me, and I'm sure it will for some of you. And it's about someone moving into their first new home with somebody helping them. Mother, any distance greater than a span requires a second pair of hands. You come to help me measure windows, pelmets, doors, the acres of walls, the prairies of the floors. You at the zero end, me with a spool of tape recording length, reporting metres, centimetres, back to base, then leaving up the stairs, the line still feeding out, unreeling, years between us, anchor, kite. I spacewalk through the empty bedrooms, climb the ladder to the loft to breaking point where something has to give. Two floors below, your fingers still pinch the last 100th of an inch. I reach towards a hatch that opens on an endless sky to fall or fly. I think two of the key words there are anchor, which is his mother, and kite, which is himself, and he's off to fly and see how it goes. So it's like somebody, as I say, moving into their new home, and the perhaps between manhood and childhood and manhood. And the second one is an amusing one, I hope you'll think. Again, it's got no title. Excuse me. And I don't know what to call it, but here it is. My father thought it bloody queer the day I rolled home with a ring of silver in my ear, half hidden by a mop of hair. You've lost your head. if that's how easily you're led, and you should have put it through your nose instead. And even then I hadn't the nerve to numb the lobe with ice, then drive a needle through the skin, then wear a safety pin. It took a jeweller's gun to pierce the flesh, and then a friend to thread a sleeper in, and where it slept, the hole became sore, became a wound, and wept. At 29, it comes as no surprise to hear, my own voice breaking like a tear, released like water, cried from way back in the spiral of the ear. If I were you, I'd take it out and leave it out another year. I never forget when I had first had my ears pierced, and a friend and I plucked up courage, and we went to somewhere on the old bus station where they did ears piercing, and it said, "Ears pierced while you wait." Make of that what you will. Right, and so, following Simon Armitage, we'll get on to Pam Ayres. Everybody likes Pam Ayres, don't they? And the thing about Pam Ayres is, I think, she takes everyday situations and turns them into amusing poems. Take the common cold, for example, our first poem, and it includes, "Oh no, I've got a cold." And that's what she's called it. "Oh no, I've got a cold. I'm sitting on the sofa by the fire and staying in. Me head is free of comfort and me nose is free of skin. Me friends have run for cover. They've left me pale and sick, with me pocket full of tissues and me nostrils full of Vic. That bloke in the telly adverts, he's supposed to have a cold. He has a swig of what's not and drops off good as gold. His face, like so snowing harvest, slips into sweet repose. Well, I bet this tortured breathing never whistled down his nose. I burnt me bitter dinner, 'cause I've lost me sense of smell. But then I couldn't taste it, so that worked out very well. I'd buy some down the cafe, but I know that at the till, a voice from work will softly say, 'I thought that you were ill.' So I'm wrapped up in a blanket with me feet upon a stool. I've watched the telly programmes and the kids come home from school. And what I haven't watched for is any sympathy, 'cause all you ever get is, 'Oh no, keep away from me.' Medicinal discovery, it moves in leaps and bounds. It leapt straight from the common cold and gave it us for keeps. I'm not a fussy woman, there's no malice in my eye, but I wish that they could cure the common cold. That's all. Goodbye." You can always sympathise with that, can't we? Now, unlike some people who are not a million miles from me at the moment, I am not a hoarder. My mantra, to quote Mr. Van der Rohe, is less is more. And apparently Pam Ayres is a bit of a hoarder. And this is what she says. It calls Heavens of Stuff. And it's page 174, to which I'm turning now. Heaps of stuff. She writes, "One of my four brothers had a great expression, 'Pleased to see you, cupboards.' This is when, on opening the cupboards of a the doors of a cupboard, the crammed contents are so delighted to see you that they all fall out on your head. I love a book called The Secret of How to Win Freedom from Clutter by Don Aslett, as it contains the world's most sensible advice. In a magazine I was reading ages ago, Maeve Binchy nominated it as her life-changing read, and interested, I tracked it down. Don Aslett points out the daftness of hoarding more and more stuff we don't need, or of packing our houses with it, of dusting, protecting, insuring it, of finding new shelves, cupboards, and eventually houses to contain it. It rang true for me. I am hopeless at parting with memories of the past. These days I try to be more ruthless, but heaps of stuff still haunt me. You can see them slyly starting to form on the kitchen table. The beginnings look very innocent. All it takes is an odd catalogue, that letter that's a chore to answer, and the interesting article. It seems such a shame to throw away. So this is what this is the poem that she's written about that. And she's called it Heaps of Stuff. How I wish that I was tidy. How I wish that I was neat. How I wish I was methodical like others down our street. I tried to stem the rising tide. I tried to hold it back. But I've been the victim of a heap of stuff attack. Yes, heaps of stuff keep coming creeping. They clutter up the hall. And heaps of stuff are softly climbing halfway up the wall. At each end of the staircase is a giant heap, a stack, one to carry up the stairs and one to carry back. In a heap of stuff invasion, they settle everywhere. They grovel on the lino, they tower on the chair. You're searching for a jacket. Is it in here? You shout, and opening the cupboard doors, a heap of stuff falls out. But heaps are many-faceted and heaps are multi-faced. And what a heap is made of will depend on where it's placed. Now, if it's in the passage, it's mostly boots and shoes. And if it's on the sofa, it's magazine and news. If it's in the shed, it's broken propagating frames. And if it's in the bathroom, well, it's best to say no names. And if it's in the bathroom, your own and not the guests, the heap of stuff is mostly made of socks and shirts and vests. For a heap is indestructible. It's something you can't fight. If you split it up by day, it joins back up at night. So cunningly positioned as from room to room you trek, increasing all the chances that you trip and break your neck. But step into my parlour now. I've forced the door ajar. I've excavated an easy chair. Just cling on there where you are. And together we will survey it till our eyes they feast enough on the tidiest homes in England underneath the heaps of stuff. Now that resonates me because this weekend a friend who was far more agile than I offered to go up into the loft for me. And I can't tell you the last time anybody went up into my loft, but I suppose it's very much like your loft. And it's full of stuff. But I was looking for a particular piece of stuff, which was a suitcase in which I knew there were some books. And books, as you know, you've heard me say, my house is full of books. So she climbed up the ladder and she said, oh, this is okay. What am I looking for? I said, you're looking for a brown suitcase and it's full of books. So she went through several suitcases and eventually she opened it up. She found it and she opened it up and she says, what kind of books are you looking for? I said, old ones. So she says, well, I think these are old because they're Enid Blyton. I said, yeah, that's it. So the suitcase was too heavy for her to come down the stairs with the ladder. So I sent her up several plastic bags, which she dutifully filled. And I've been sorting them out and they brought back so many memories, not only of what I was reading as a child, but what I was reading for my son when he was a child. And I've got it into two piles now. Well, three really. I've got the must keeps, the perhaps and the charity shops. And that's where I'm up to. But by the end of this week, people, I have to tell you, they've got to go somewhere. Because we can't stay on the living room floor anymore. I hope you enjoyed today's readings. I enjoyed Armitage and Ayres. Thank you to you know who. And I hope you all enjoyed it. And I'll be back with you very soon. Bye for now.